Hello and welcome to Coffee Chat with Dream Life Creators, a podcast where we inspire, motivate, encourage, and also give you practical tips to live your dream life here and now. I am Alinka Tercic, your host, and today I'm excited to chat with Petra Monaco. Hey, Petra.
Hi, so excited to be here.
Thanks for taking the time to talk to me. I'm really excited about our topic because we are talking about inner rebel. So you call yourself a rebel. Why?
Well, I just always been a natural nonconformist. I've followed the crowd, but internally I've always felt like, no, don't do that. No, you don't have to do that. So I'm naturally developed a voice saying no. I don't jump on bandwagons. You know, people read Harry Potter. I haven't read a single one.
I just watched the movie last year, so I'm the same.
So, you know, there's all these movies and things and the way we do business and people, you need to do this. And I'm just like, no, I don't. So that's just how I'm being a rebel, but also more internally, because we have these stories that we tell ourselves because of our upbringing, our past. No matter where you come from, whether you had a good upbringing or not, there's always going to be those stories that tell you, no, you can't do that. You need to graduate high school and go to college, have a family, have a career, retire and die. And I'm just like, I don't want to live that way.
But you mentioned in your younger days, were you always a rebel, or did you just now embrace it and, you know, go for it and, you know, whatever happens, happens?
So I've always been a rebel, even when I was codependent. And that showed up differently, right? In my teenage years, I was hanging out with the bad crowd. So anarchy and no rules. Like, I've always been that way and hung out with that kind of a crowd because that's where I felt at home. But I was very codependent. I was very needy of validation and very needy of acceptance and feeling loved and being part of something. Moving from that, part of embracing my inner rebel was like, I don't need that anymore in order to know who I am or to feel loved. I can love myself better than anybody else. That's it.
That's awesome. And I think that we are all, in a way, teaching that, you know, be yourself. Love yourself, accept yourself. But, you know, it takes time. And like you said, you know, sometimes people are telling us not to do this and not to do that. And sometimes we stand up for ourselves. Sometimes we just follow the crowd.
Yeah. And that's part of being a rebel, is to stand up for yourself. You know, I mentioned stories. Like, for me, I grew up in foster care. And so I've always felt I'm a foster kid reject. So I can't have the life that I want, right? Because everything is going to reject me because of that experience. But my inner rebel said, that's not true. My inner rebel says, you're a success story. You graduated high school. You have a college education. You have amazing kids and you have a family. And so really embracing that, saying, I don't have to believe that story. I can create a new one, is really what embracing your inner rebel is about, is to your internal dialogue to go against that when it doesn't feel true to you.
In this interview that I'm doing, it came up, you know, almost in every interview that, you know, that inner strength that we know that we have it, but how did you manage to, you know, let's say win against the odds, against your, you know, past stories?
I want to say there's an easy answer and there isn't.
I know.
because I get this a lot because I've had quite the challenging upbringing. And then even in my adulthood, you know, it was challenging. I've experienced homelessness. I have a special needs son. So I've always gone against some kind of a challenge. And the only thing that I can sort of say is that I was born with optimism. You know, I always believe deep down, where there's a will, there's a way. How willing are you to make that happen? And I've always just chosen to do the work, to show up, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's difficult, even the days I was ready to pull my hair out and say, I can't do this anymore. It's to step away. I slept on it. And the next day I'm like, all right, let's do this. That's just who I am. And I don't even know how that, you know.
No, that's awesome, because I'm always curious, you know, where we find that strength to really go for it, despite this, you know, being in a whatever situation we are. You said you knew that you are, you know, meant for something. You were positive despite of everything that happened to you. So how did you do it? You know, do you have any tips or any advice for anyone who's, you know, struggling to see their own inner strength?
Well, I want to piggyback on that, because for the first 15 years of my life, I didn't know better. You know, I was choosing alcohol, I was choosing drugs, I was choosing that path, until one person says, Petra, you're not stupid. And I think that was sort of my thin thread where I was hanging on to, going, this one person believes in me, and it's time for me to believe in myself. And I was 15. I didn't know the impact that conversation had until years later. And I look back at it and I share it all the time, because it was such profound, just this one person, this one sentence. And I was like, okay. And I think I just hung on to it without knowing that I hang on to that. And how I moved these change and transition is clarity. Where do I want to go? What do I want to do? What are my dreams? What are my goals? Where do I want, you know, how do I want to impact the world? How do I want, what kind of mom do I want to be? What kind of partner do I want to be? And naming the problem. And I think that's a challenge, is name the frustration, name the problem. You know, if you're frustrated with making money, name that, say that. You don't have to tell people, but in your journal or however, I'm having a problem making money, and then problem solve it. Okay, so I'm having a problem making money. How can I make money? And then you brainstorm a bunch of things, and then you take action. You know, so you have to name it, brainstorm it, and then act on it. You can't just write it down and then not do anything about it.
Did you have any guidance or guides, I would say, more? Who do you turn? Because you said you were 15, you know nothing about the life, you know, so you can, and I don't mean that in the, you know, disrespectful way, but we've been there, you know. I think that I was clueless for maybe 20 years or even 25. I had my not yet the kids, but, you know, now that I'm looking back, I was so, you know, so naive. And you can, you know, admit, okay, I have a problem, but you have to somehow see the other side. Mm-hmm. Or who you want to be. Did you have any role models, or where did you turn for that positive inspiration?
I literally had no role models that I can think about that, where I was like, oh, I want to be like that person or like that person. You know, going even further back, my foster parents told me I would be nothing and I would be worthless. And I probably took that and said, I'm going to prove you wrong. I was 8, you know, and I've said, I will not be like my parents. I will be successful. I will be worth something. And I've always fought against that. So I'm overachieving, always doing extra. And I just was driven by that story, until I had, DUI, driving under the influence, and I was like, oh, I'm heading down the wrong path, right? And that was sort of my first shift, my first self-awakening, like I call it, and I realized I'm not being true to myself. I'm not being the person that I already am, that I know that I can be. And I went to college. I didn't have romance. I just intuitively, my intuition probably guided me more than anything else, saying, trust it, believe in it, allow it to guide you. And I went to college for the first time and I got my first degree. And intuition, if you don't use it, you're missing out on a big, big piece on how to create the life that you want.
So you're talking a lot about intuition and, you know, knowing and, but again, there are so many people that, including myself, you know, I started using my intuition, I think in my 20s, I was living on my own, and I think that I got it. But then with the kids and marriage and the house and job and everything, I kind of lost myself in, you know, that, let's say, perfect created world that, you know, someone yeah. else created for me. How do you recommend to others to tune into the intuition, to really listen to that inner voice, the gut feeling, the heart, whatever you call it?
Well, there's a few ways. First of all, get quiet. You know, stop talking. Yeah. Because you can't listen if you keep talking and if you're doing busy work. You just can't hear anything. Your mind will always try to, your ego, if you will, overpower your internal knowing. And for me, that became very clear. Just a quick story. My son was diagnosed with a rare genetic disorder, and my intuition kept him alive. Like my mother instinct, my gut said, there's something wrong. You need to keep advocating. And that's how I know intuition works for me. And it's so important for everybody. The other part is get a journal. There's power in writing things down. Like it's so profound when we start writing things down. And there's several other people that teach this work, is to just get quiet, start writing. Don't censor anything. Just allow it to come out of you for 5, 10, 30 minutes every morning or at night, whenever is good for you. And just allow your voice to be heard to yourself. You're going to start identify what's your intuition and what's your ego. Because your ego, the minute you say, I want to do this, your ego is going to say, nope, you can't do that. It's going to be that internal dialogue that you'll have with yourself. But you'll know your intuition because it feels good. It feels exciting. Will you be nervous?
Absolutely.
Right? That's without a given. Are you going to push the boundaries of your comfort zone? Without question. But your intuition is giving you your path. You know, when I became, and I don't know, I don't have a label for myself, coach, mentor, whatever you want to call me. I was like, oh, can I do this work? I really want to do this work. Like I was so excited to help people. But my ego was like, you're not good enough. You can't do this work. And I was like, but I have a master's degree. Of course I can do this. So there's this internal dialogue that happens where your ego is trying to keep you safe because that's what society, your parents, your grandparents, whoever raised you, school has taught you. Stay in the safe zone because that's the good way to live. But your ego is like, you're so much bigger than that. You're so much more than just living in that comfort zone. And so, yeah, writing for me every morning without fail, good, bad, and the ugly. Like I write it all down. Even when I'm frustrated and angry, sad, upset, I write that down, but then I switch it. Like I rewrite it of what I want it to be and I allow to just let it go. And I can read back knowing, okay, this is my intuition and this is my ego. The other one is go outside. Step away from the computer, step away from the house, get away from your family and just be in nature, whether it be through running and exercising or just walking and hiking, because that's where you sort of can feel your intuition because thoughts come up, ideas come up, and you're like, oh, this is a great idea.
Or under the shower.
Or in the shower, absolutely.
Yeah. You mentioned journaling and I do it too, but sometimes I'm kind of lost. What should I write? I'm, you know, like still, let's say, rules girl, what should I write? You know, I need someone to tell me. I try, but, you know, sometimes I just feel stuck. What do I write today? And then, you know, I feel like I'm writing the same thing over and over and over and over again. Like you said, I focus on the positive and try to rewrite what I want. And, you know, sometimes I feel, okay, I'm just writing the same thing over and over, day in, day out. What do I do?
So here's the thing. If you don't know what to write, write that. Just write, because it'll start flowing. Like today, I don't know what to write about today. And it's annoying me or frustrating me. And it's really like, oh my God, I'm writing the same stuff. Just start writing that. And all of a sudden you will see a shift in your own writing going, oh, I didn't realize I had anything to say. So that's the one part. And if you're repeating what you're writing, maybe look at that and see, go deeper. See what is that about? Is there any resistance? If you're writing the same thing, am I stuck on how to move forward? Am I stuck in taking action? Am I resisting this next step that I need to take? Because if you're rewriting everything, then yeah, there's something that you just have to dig deeper. Well, why does that keep coming up? And then just kind of sit with it. It's coming up because, and let it go.
No, I agree with you completely, but I meant I'm writing what I want over and over again. Like, you know, I'm creating this kind of, you know, ideal life in my head and in my journal. And it just, you know, it's always the same.
But I think that's okay. You know, a lot of the bigger experts and even myself, I start with a vision, right? Like, what is my vision for the year? What, when I look back on the year, what do I want to have achieved? And that's how I decide on my goals. And so, yeah, you're going to repeat a lot of that. But what happens is that you might be stuck for a minute because you don't know how to make that happen, right? Like, I want this kind of money a month, but you have no idea how that's going to work out. And that's the fun part of life. That's the adventure that I enjoy very much. I have no idea how stuff is going to happen. I just know this is what I want to do. And I just keep taking action that I know is consistent and that is solid, because the next thing I know, I'm throwing a summit together that I had no idea I was going to do. That's just how that works.
I get that. It's the same with this podcast. You know, I just get, you know, talking with someone, I remember how much fun I had doing that a few years back. Let's do it. You know, it's still not perfect. It's, you know, whatever, but I have fun. So,
well, perfection is overrated.
Yeah, I agree to that. And I know that you teaching, you know, to be more rebellious, this is one way of overcoming perfection.
Yes, absolutely. You know, if I were to be in that perfection bubble, I would have never published a book, right? Like, if I want everything to be perfect, I would have never written my blog post, my books, or anything, because I would be so afraid what people think, what they say. English is my second language, which means I'm going to have grammar mistakes, right? Like, no doubt about it. And if I worry about perfection because I'm worried about all these other things, I would not do my work. I would not be here having this conversation with you. I would not help other people in the process. And you just have to let go of that. There is no right time to take action other than right now.
And which reminds me, you know, before you were talking about that one sentence or word that changed, let's say, your life in a way. You know, I just had this the other day and someone said, don't be selfish, you know, don't worry about you being great or looking good or whatever. It is not about you. It is about the other people, you know. Who do you inspire? Who do you empower? Who, you know, can look up to you for the whatever they need, you know? And there is a message that you come or give to someone will get that. And it will be what you were talking about, you know, a sentence, they will, you know, just click to it. And it is how it happens in life, but we often don't take notice of that. You know?
Yeah. I literally didn't remember that conversation with the social worker until I was in my 20s. Like, I blocked it out. And then, you know, I had that DUI and I was sort of like, oh God, what are you doing with your life? And I remembered that conversation. And I think we remember what's important from our past, and that's valuable information, the good and the bad, right? Like, I remember the bad stuff. I'm not just like forgetting about it. But that motivates me in so many ways, because what she said, literally, I truly believe what she said changed my path, right? Because I was going the wrong way. So she comes to my life and says that. And then I share my story with people over and over again. And people are like, how did you do that? How did you get to be here? How did you become so smart? Why do you know so much more about life than I do? And I've had this, an 80-year-old man I had a conversation with, and we kind of shared this conversation. He's like, I'm 80 and don't have this knowledge. But that's why we do the work we do, because we have knowledge that we've gotten over life experience and even education, right? Like, it's, I'm not downing education in any way, because my academics helped me do what I do. So it's just being aware. And that's where writing is so important, because you just get that clarity of, this is my mission. This is what I'm here to do. This is how I'm going to rebel against society and do what I do. And I, you know, when I go networking offline, so what do? Whatever I want. And they kind of look at me going, what does that even mean? And I'm, and then I have to explain what it is that I do, which, but that's a conversation starter. It interrupts the pattern of what society deems normal, yeah. Right? So that's how I do the rebel thing.
No, and it's also, that's actually my next question. How do you make this being a rebel a positive thing? You know, like a positive quality, you know, not because we know the rebels are, you know, like bad, don't obey law, they're murderers or whatever they are. How do you make it a positive attitude towards life, or, you know, even a quality of your life?
So I know part of my process is to always give a different perspective. I, you know, you tell me something, I will give you the other side. I will always, always, I've never not done that, give you the other side, a different point of view, a different thought process. Sometimes I even contradict everything, which is part of being a rebel, is to be contradictory, to devil's advocate, if you will, and say, well, no, there's another way. And so for me,
do you do this consciously? Like, if I say something, I will just go the opposite direction?
No, it's very natural for me to do that. There's some times where I'm like, oh, you're getting ready. Like, sometimes I know where I'm like, maybe I shouldn't say that. Because, you know, what will people think? And oh my God. And I have my own, even now, I still have that internal dialogue. But no, it happens very naturally for me to just be like, but what if? Or no, that I don't agree. And that sort of gets people thinking, right? Because that's what rebels do. They get you thinking a different way. And for me, you know, I've done the corporate career. I've done accounting work. I've been a therapist working for somebody else. It was okay work. I mean, it was fine. But I wanted more. I want it bigger. I want to do art. I want to write books. I want to help people. I want to go on vacation and travel and do all these things. And I can't do that working for somebody else.
Of course.
I do whatever I want.
No, and it's awesome, because, you know, you listening to you, it's like, yeah, you give permission to everyone to be whatever they want to be. In a very positive way, not in a way that, you know, I always hate the phrase thinking, not thinking out of the box, the other one, break the rules, you know, because, yeah, I understand what's behind that, but, you know, sometimes some rules are, you know, need
some rules are fine. I mean, we need some rules, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And as parents, we probably know that more than anything, right? Our kids need rules and boundaries. Yes, they're going to push against it. And that's still true for us as adults. We still need some kind of rules. I'm not saying break the law. Right? Like, that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that part of being a rebel is being true to yourself. And sometimes you're going to contradict what other people are saying, thinking, and feeling. And being okay with that. Be okay with that. Even if other people don't agree. There's a saying, I have a coffee cup that says that, not my circus, not my monkeys.
I love that one. Right? Yes, that's a great one.
What other people think of me, the way I do, what I do, I don't have to concern myself with that. Yeah. I just know that I'm true to myself every single day. Conversation with you, conversation with other people, the blogs that I write, the books that I write, they're always very true to me. And that's what matters. And that's what I help people do, is yes, give them permission to just be themselves, even if the world says no.
Yeah, and I love that. And you have a great gift for our listeners. which is?
Rise Above.
And what it is about?
It's a three videos, and they're very short because I am a person that gets straight to the point. I don't beat around the bush. I don't have time for that. I'm a doer, right? So it's just small videos to help you become aware of the stories you tell yourself that are holding you back. And then how to rewrite them to break through, to break free, to have that more being you moment. And then start taking action. It's sort of like become aware, rewrite it, and then how are you going to transform it? What is your next step to just become more you in the process?
Awesome, awesome. Thank you. And where can people find you, learn more about you?
Well, you can Google my name, which is Petra Monaco, P-E-T-R-A-M-O-N-A-C-O. I'm probably the only one out there. Or you can go to my website, PetraMonaco.com, and you'll find all the information about me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being my guest here. I think that we had a great interview and, you know, a lot of fun.
It's been a pleasure. I love this.
Thank you. I'm Alinka Tercic, and this was Coffee Chat with Dream Life Creators. Bye.